And he is risen. Amen. And that changes everything. That's what we're in this series called Rise. And we've been looking at the difference that the resurrection made, not just to the disciples and those of that day, but to all of us who are Christ followers today. The first Sunday when we launched this on Easter, we talked about the fact that there is so much evidence to the resurrection, and that when you really begin to look at it, it just emboldens our faith, that we can rise to a new way of believing and to a new height and confidence in our faith. Second week, we talked about the fact that we can rise to a new life, that Christ didn't just die to forgive us of our past, but that he rose from the dead so that we could live new lives, so that we could become the people that we've always wanted to be, and that we could become the people that God's wanted us to be. And that's such great news. I don't care who you are, where you've been, or what you've been through in your life. If you will open your heart and mind to the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you this, he can change you dramatically from the inside out. Amen? He can change you dramatically. Last week, Pastor Will was here from Indiana, and he shared on the fact that we also get to rise to a new family. You know, God created us for relationships. Very beginning, when he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so God created us to be a part of a family. Psalms talks about the fact that the Lord sets the lonely in families. And when the Holy Spirit was released upon the believers, it meant that they weren't just a whole group of people doing stuff, but that they were the family of God. And that's what we want you to know, that you're not alone on this journey. Today, I want to talk about another aspect that comes out of the power of the resurrection, and that is we can rise to a new purpose. I want you to just think this thought with me for a second. If I were to ask you, what's the purpose of your life? What do you think it is that God really wants to do through you? How would you answer that? Purpose drives us. I saw this quote by George Bernard Shaw, and I just love it. Throw that up on the screen. George Bernard Shaw said, this is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being thoroughly worn out before you're thrown on the scrap heap, the being a force of nature, I love this, instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. Now, I got to be honest, when I read that last part, I thought of several people. Did you? I love this. Instead of being, being a force of nature, instead of being a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to make you happy. Look at me. Make eye contact. I want you to get this. God created you for purpose. And Jesus rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon mankind so that Christ could live in that power through us. The question becomes, so what is your purpose? I want to look at a passage of Scripture today from Acts chapter 6. And in this passage, the background is that the Christ has ascended to heaven. The disciples are now launching the church. They are reaching people for Christ, and the numbers are really beginning to grow. And like with any growing church, there are growing problems in the church. And this is what's happening in Acts chapter 6. Let me read it for you. We'll throw it up on the screen for you. It says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Now let me stop there for a second. I can't tell you what joy it brought me to realize that people have been complaining to the pastor ever since the first century. I just thought that just sets me free. Okay, I'm not alone in this. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers, and they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. And everyone liked this idea. And so they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip; Prochorus; Nicanor; Timon; Parmenas; and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them, excuse me, as they laid their hands on them. Now read this last sentence out loud. And so God's message continued to spread, and the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. I want to talk a bit about the idea of God's purpose for your life. And I want to give you, as I sat down with this, I just started thinking about all the things that we really need to know if we're going to step into this fully. And I thought of several facts just about the purposes of God that I think might be helpful for you. Are you ready? If you're a note taker, here we go. Here's the first one. Some purposes, when we talk about the purposes of God, some purposes are universal to us all. In other words, there are some things that God expects out of all of us. He expects all of us to be like him in character. He expects all of us to be students of his word. He expects all of us to pray. He expects all of us to give. He expects all of us to be witnesses of who he is to our friends around us. In other words, when we talk about purposes, there are some of these that we talk about. These are responsibilities that God has given to every single one of us. Some purposes are only for a season. Well, when I was thinking again about looking back on my own journey of faith, I realized that, you know, there were different times in my life when I felt like God had different things for me to do. I remember when I came out of college, I was really passionate about working with teenagers. And I came here to Chartel back in 1981 as a youth pastor. And I loved it, man. I loved getting up in the morning and heading to the church to plan programming for the teens. I loved meeting them at McDonald's for a Coke. I loved planning events and doing Bible studies with the teens. I loved doing that. But I'll never forget the night. It was at a lock-in. And it was late at night, and I was tired, and I wanted to sleep. And the teens weren't wanting to sleep. And I laid there and realized I've lost my passion for teenagers. I don't even like them even more, you know. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, you know, it's like, if I don't like them, I probably shouldn't be the pastor of the teenagers. And God changed my focus. And again, some of you understand what I'm talking about. How many of you who have lived like me, a little bit in the faith for a while, how many of you have found God changing your vision and your purposes through the years? How many of you have okay, it just happens. And I say that because sometimes people feel guilty when they've been a part of a ministry, and then they just feel like God is nudging them to leave. They start feeling guilty, like, I really can't leave this. It's okay, because if God is leading you elsewhere, he's going to raise someone else up to take your place. Our purposes, let me give you a third one. Our purpose is most effective when it flows out of our passions and gifts. Our purpose is most effective when it flows out of our passions and gifts. We were talking about this in our staff last week. The fact that, you know, you there's lots of roles and lots of slots you can fill, and you can do anything for a short period of time. But here's the deal. God has placed his spirit in you, and the Bible says that he has given you spiritual gifts. And what you're going to discover is that you will last longer, you will be more effective when you're operating out of those passions and those gifts. In fact, when people talk to me about, you know, how do I find my spiritual gift? How do I find my purpose? The question you want to ask yourself is, what am I really passionate about? What is it that I see out there that I feel God laying on my heart? What do I get excited about? And then secondly, what do I feel I'm effective at? What do I feel like God has given me to do that when I do this, I tend to get affirmed by people that, yeah, you're pretty good at this. Those are things you want to look at, because the longer you stay in your passions and your gift, the more effective you'll be. And believe it or not, you'll be able to do it for a longer period of time, guarantee you. Fourthly, some of us find our purpose accidentally. Some of us find our purpose accidentally. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about people who I talked to through the years who tried something, and you know, they did it because there was a need for somebody to do it, and they stepped into it, and you know what they discovered? They discovered that they loved it, and they discovered it was fulfilling for them. And that happens. So when we're talking about, Pastor Steve, how do I find my purpose? Again, a couple things I would say. One, kind of spend some time with God. Lord, what are you laying on my heart? What do I feel like you've gifted me to do? But the other thing is this. Look at me. This isn't rocket science. Try some things. Try some things. Because sometimes you really don't know how it's going to fit for you before we try it on. A lot of times when we're recruiting people to positions here at Chartel, we always try to, on the front end, give people a caveat and say, you know what, why don't you try this for a while? And if it doesn't fit, if after doing it for a while, it just doesn't seem like this fits for you, it's not really what you want to be, it's okay to step out of that and keep looking for what God wants you to do. Does that make sense to you? I mean, sometimes we discover it accidentally. For some of us, and again, I want you to think broadly about this, your purpose can be, it can be within the church and the things we do, but it can also be outside of the church. For some of you, what God is really, the purpose that he's putting on your heart may not have anything to do with our local Chartel ministry. It may be something that he's given you to do that's outside of the church. We've got people who are involved in prison ministries that aren't in Chartel. This may feel like a jail at times, but it's not a jail, you know? And there are people who that's their place is serving out there. There are people who serve as volunteers at hospitals, and they really feel like God's given them that to do. We had a funeral last past Friday, for a guy named Bob Yokley, who's been a long-term Chartel guy. And Bob, his ministry was at the Earlywine Park YMCA. It was so funny. I told the story at the funeral on Friday. But Bob, when I would work out at the Y, I would always see Bob there. And Bob was just, he had this great smile. He never met a stranger. But Bob's ministry was just going from person to person, either introducing himself or talking to them about what was going on. In fact, Bob loved to bake. And he would take all kinds of goodies to the Y. Now, here's all these people there to work out. And I told Bob one time, I said, Bob, you do understand people are here at the gym because they already eat too much of the kind of stuff you're giving to them. You do understand that. And I was kind of got a bit, but that was Bob. He loved to give them stuff. But he loved to have those conversations. I kid you not, I was working out on the Stairmaster one day. And I was it's like an escalator that you're walking up and down the escalator. And as I started working out, Bob came in the gym, and I watched him. I watched him go from machine to machine just talking to people. There was a guy doing curls, and Bob was standing there while the guy did curls. And then there was another guy doing a leg extension machine, and he was lifting weights at, and Bob went over, and he was talking to him. Then he went over down the other part of the gym, and there was a guy doing a lat pull, and Bob was talking to the guy. I was on the Stairmaster for 30 to 45 minutes, never saw Bob lift one weight. He just talked. That's all he did. He talked to people everywhere. When I got off the Stairmaster, I was soaked with sweat, and I went over to Bob, and I was just laughing, and I took his cheeks in my hand. I said, Bob, you have the strongest jaws in the gym. That was the only part that was getting exercise. But I guarantee you, when the people at the Y heard that Bob had passed away, it was a loss, because that was more than a gym. That was his mission field. Does that make sense to you? Now, I want to go back to the story for a second, and I want to pull out just a few things that I really want you to think about as you open your heart and mind to God's purposes for your life. Are you ready? Here we go. Here's the first one. When you find your purpose, when you start doing your part empowers and inspires others to do their part. When you do your part, it both empowers and inspires others to do their part. Did you notice what we read in the scripture? From Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, when the apostles were telling them to select these men, it said, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility of food distribution. Read it with me. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Think with me how history would have been different if the apostles had to be delivering food instead of preaching the word of God. You with me? I mean, all of a sudden, it would have been this force going forward would have stopped because guys were called and gifted to do one thing, and because there was nobody stepping up, they had to do the other. When you do your part, the Bible describes the church as the body of Christ, and every single one of us are a member. Paul does this a great job in 1 Corinthians 12, talking about you're an eye or you're an ear, and people go, oh, well, Pastor Steve, I'm just a toenail on the body of Christ. You ever tear off a toenail? The whole body suffers. You know what I'm saying? Now here's the deal. I'm not trying to impute guilt on you. I'm trying to make you understand how important you are. If you don't do your part, somebody else has to leave their part to fill in for you. Are you with me? And so it's important that we understand that. They were empowering, and it inspires. When you're watching people do their part, especially when they're doing it in the fullness of the glory of God, it's so inspiring. I shared this in first service. I love Pastor Rachel, who leads our worship. Don't you guys just love her? Come on, give it up for her. Again, I've worked with a lot of worship leaders through the years. And again, I've had some very talented people I've been partnered with, but I've had some people, quite frankly, that, you know, when they get there, they kind of get there last minute, and, you know, and they would just kind of, you know, get through the music, and you could tell it was kind of half-baked and half-cooked. This lady works hard to make sure that every single Sunday, her and her team are prepared to lead us into the presence of God. And I can't tell you how many times I've stood here with my hands up, tears running down my face, because I get the privilege to work with someone who is better at what they do than I am at what I do. It's inspiring. And you can do that. Secondly, and I think you'll get this, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. It's how you do it. Come on. Anybody else ever shop at a store and you're ready to spend just a ton of money on stuff and you can't get anyone to wait on you? Ever have that? Or if you do finally find what you want and you say, hey, can you help me? It's like, oh, I guess. That's what they pay me to do, you know. It's kind of like, really? You know, I mean, does that make you want to go back to that store? No, it makes me want to shop on Amazon, you know. I don't have to deal with anybody, you know. That kind of, and it's the same way. Look at me. It's the same way in the church. What we do in the kingdom of God is done for the King. This isn't about Steve. It's not about Chartel. It's not about whatever part. It's about the way we serve God. And I just believe that our King deserves the best we got. And not just the best effort. I know this is going to hurt. He deserves the best attitude. He deserves the best attitude. I mean, anything worse than going into a church and somebody standing there greeting, I guess I got to hand out these stupid bulletins to people, you know. Oh, you're here today? Here's one more. Yeah, go find a seat. You know? Yeah. People start making their minds up. Look at me. They make their minds up about God by watching the way we do His work. Did you get that? I'll never forget. I was in Phoenix pastoring, and one Sunday we did three morning worship services. And one Sunday morning, I came out between services out to the lobby and patio area. I just catch my breath between services, and the next service people were coming in, and we had several people stationed at doors there. We had several doors, and this woman was walking in the glass door, and as I saw her, I didn't recognize her, and I thought she may be new. We had a lot of people at the church, and I didn't know everybody by sight, but I thought, I don't think I've seen this woman before. And as she came in, one of our greeters, her name was Nova, who's just a spectacular person. And when this woman came in, Nova's got this big smile on her face, and I saw her, you know, say something to her, something along the lines of, hi, welcome to church. Have I met you? My name's Nova, and the guy was exchanging with her. And I saw Nova hand her a bulletin, and she started asking this gal some questions. And I could see this gal was kind of got sad and kind of teared up, and Nova took her by the hands and just pulled her off to the side. And they kind of leaned into each other. I saw Nova talk with her for a moment. Then I saw Nova put her hand on her shoulder she prayed with this woman. And after the gal had gone over and got a Kleenex and was walking into the auditorium, I walked over to Nova and I said, "Well, what was that all about?" And she smiled and she said, "This woman woke up this morning and really felt like God was leading her to come to our church." And said this was her first time. And said as she came in, she goes, I could tell she looked troubled. And I just said, "Honey, are you okay?" And she said, she started crying. I said, "No, I'm not." And she began telling me about this terrible week that she just had and some stuff that she was going through. And I thought, you know, I didn't want her to just walk on in with that. And she said, so I just took her to the side and asked her if it'd be okay if I just prayed for her. Look at me. You can change the world with greeters like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because this is a person who, she didn't see herself as someone who just stands out the door throwing out bulletins. She saw her as someone who was the first impression for what people were going to think about our church and the kingdom of God. She looked at people with a sensitivity, asking the question, what am I noticing and what can I do to engage them further? It's not just what you do, it's how you do it. Here's what Paul said in Corinthians 15:58. Read it out loud with me. "Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Let me give you a third thought. Sometimes, and this goes back to our guys in the scripture, sometimes serving in a small role is preparation for a much bigger role. Sometimes serving in a small role is preparation for a bigger role. Sometimes we don't really understand why God is placing us in certain positions. I'll never forget when I was in college, I got asked to be an RA in the dorm. And then Wanda and I became dorm parents for a few years. And I'm going to look you in the eye and tell you, my experience as an RA and as a dorm parent was every bit as valuable to me as my college education. I mean, I learned more about dealing with people and being sensitive to people and how to engage them and be emotionally intelligent than I did by any class that I took. And I had no idea that this small role that I was taking was preparing me for something much, much bigger. For Stephen and Philip, who were two of the seven, you know, look what happened to them after they continued to feed the hungry and do the Meals on Wheels program that they did. Look at how the Bible describes their continued ministry. Acts 6:8, read it with me. "Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people." Look at Philip after the persecution really burst out and the disciples were scattered. It says, "Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah." Read it with me. "Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did." And I just want you to picture this with me. When Philip and Stephen were given this responsibility, I promise you, they didn't just drop off food and skedaddle. These were guys who were engaging the people, the widows that were needing the food. They were talking to them about their needs. They were talking to them about the Lord. And these people were inviting friends and family to hear what Philip and Stephen were saying, and that's how God took their small role and began to multiply it. Here's what Jesus said: "If you will be faithful in small things, I can trust you with bigger things." Amen. There's a guy I just read about last week. It was so cool. His name's Stephen Paxton. He was born in 1808, and he was born into poverty. He was born lame. He had a bad leg, and he also stuttered. But he loved people, and he loved to learn, and he was so excited for his first day of school. In fact, he was so excited on his first day at school that when he got there and the teacher said, "What's your name?" he couldn't get it out. And he stuttered so bad because he was just so excited, and the teacher sent him home and said, "You know what? Come back when you learn how to talk." Great way to start your education, huh? Well, that didn't stop Stephen. Stephen went home, and his mom read to him what books they had. He started going into town and learned, taught himself the alphabet by the signs in the store, began to do all that, and he began to engage people. He self-taught him. He never went back to school, just taught himself all the way through. Graduated, got married, because he was really good with people, he had a little bit of a successful business, ended up in the Mississippi Valley down in southwestern Illinois, and about 30 years old, with a couple of kids, his daughter Mary had started attending a Sunday school that was nearby in their town. And back in those days, the Sunday school was run by the American Sunday School Association, and it was all Protestant churches kind of shared this one Sunday school that were in the area. And Mary came home one day and said, "Daddy, you got to go to church with me Sunday." And Stephen's like, "I don't think so." And she goes, "Daddy, you got to go because it's Bring a Friend Sunday, and if you go, I'll get a gold star." And Stephen didn't want to disappoint his daughter, so he ends up going to this Sunday school, and he thought, "I'm just going to step in the door, and then I can say I've been there, and I'm out," you know. And as soon as he walked in, the superintendent for the Sunday school said, "We're so glad that you're here. One of our volunteers couldn't make it, and we need you to sit in with our teenage boys." Wow. That'll teach you to learn how to know God in a hurry right there, you know. And so he did, and he was totally embarrassed because he knew nothing, never read the Bible, knew nothing about the Bible, but they had given him a few questions to ask the boys, and he told the boys, "I don't know anything about the Bible, so I'm just going to read you the questions, and you're going to have to give me the answers." And they loved it, and he did. And he loved being with the kids. And you know what? He went back to next Sunday. And he went back to next Sunday. And he went back to next Sunday. For 4 years, Stephen attended church, and he listened to the Word of God being read and responded to, and he committed his life to Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he caught this passionate fervor for developing Sunday schools, and he realized that there were other places that didn't have them. So he started spending his weekends visiting some of the surrounding towns and trying to help the association start some new Sunday schools. And he would go into town, he'd just go door to door telling people about the Sunday school that was starting, and he would invite them, and he did that. He kept doing that and doing that and doing that until finally the American Sunday School Association decided to hire him and said, "We want you to do this full time." And so he did for 40 years. This guy wrote, they said in his biography, that he went over 100,000 miles on horseback, starting Sunday schools all up and down the Mississippi. Are you ready for this? He started over 1,300 Sunday schools that over 80,000 people attended. This guy made this incredible impact. They said this was the guy in the wilderness part of the U.S. at that time. This guy was solely responsible for the thriving Sunday school programs that began there. It was all him. And how did he start? As a volunteer in the Sunday school program. Don't miss this. You want to do great things for God? Humble your heart and make yourself available to what God will open up to you. And when you're faithful with those small things, you'll see what God can do with bigger things. Amen. Let me give you one last thought today. And that is this. Never underestimate the significance of what God gives you to do. Never underestimate the significance of what God gives you to do. You know, we talk about these seven guys being recruited to do the food program, but because the disciples were able to give them that food program and because they were able to continue to focus on praying and preaching the word, look at what happened. Read it with me. So God's word continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Not just because of the disciples preaching, but because there were a group of seven men who were doing what God gave them to do. That's why I put this statement on your outline. All of us together who have the Spirit of God in us, all of us together are droplets in the great wave of what God's doing. Never minimize it. Several years ago, when I was pastoring in Phoenix, I went there in 1996. And a few years after we got started there, we developed a tape ministry. You might remember cassette tapes. Yeah, some of you will remember that. These kids are going, what's a cassette tape? You know, everything's digital now. But we used to record the messages on cassette tapes, and we discovered that was a really great way to invite people to church because people could give those cassette tapes to friends that they would listen to, and they say, man, I like that, and they would come to church that way. We made tapes available for free. We mailed them to people. I'll never forget, one day during the week, I was heading out to lunch, and as I was walking by the front desk, there was a gal, her name was Caroline. And she was one of our volunteers that came in and did odds and ends for us. And as I'm walking out, I walked by and said, hey, Caroline, good to see you. I said, thanks for coming in today. And she said, you're welcome. And I said, so what are you doing today? And she goes, oh, no big deal. She goes, I'm just stuffing tapes for our mailing. I'm just stuffing tapes. So I got to the front door as I was getting ready to walk out, and her words hit me. I'm just stuffing tapes. And I realized she has no idea how important her job is. And I've turned back around. I went back to the desk. I said, Caroline, let me tell you the story. I said, 2 weeks ago, I said, I got a letter in the mail from a woman from Wisconsin. And I said, her name is Janice. And I said, Janice sent me this beautiful letter and said, dear Pastor Steve, I just want to thank you so much for your ministry and particularly for your tape ministry. She said, about 6 months ago, I was going through a really hard time, and I didn't know where to turn. And I have a friend who attends your church, and I was talking to them on the phone, and they sent me a whole collection of your tapes and said, you need to listen to these. It'll help you. And she goes, and I did, and it was so helpful. And she goes, and I called your office, and they've been sending me tapes now every other week. And so I get to listen to you as I'm driving. I listen to them over and over again. And she goes, last week, on my way to work, as I'm listening to your message in the truck, God got a hold of my heart. And she said, I pulled off the road, and there on the side of the road, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for all you do. And I said, Caroline, that's a tape you packaged. I said, Caroline, what you do is really important. I can't preach my messages, tape my messages, pack my messages, and mail my messages. I said, what you do, you are a part of this great chain of grace. I said, don't just stick them in an envelope. When you put it in the envelope, say a prayer. God, let this word fall on a fertile heart because you're a part of changing the world. I don't know what role God will call you to or what purpose he will ask you to serve. This is what I know. If God calls you to it, it's important for the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm going to ask my prayer partners if they would go ahead and come to the front. And Rachel's going to come back out and lead us in a song to respond today. And again, just say a couple things to you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today all I would invite you to do is just to open your heart and mind and know this. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been there. Here's what I know. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. And today, you could start a brand new life, and God will give you a purpose. Today, if you've never opened your heart and mind to that, today, if you're just one of those who just kind of come to church and, you know, kind of read your Bible once in a while, but you've never really opened your life to be used by God, you're missing it. You're missing it. We are all a part of this great body of Christ. And whether it's in the church or outside of the church, God has a place and a purpose for you. Yeah, and today, I would just encourage you to open your heart and mind to what God might want to say and do. And this morning, if you have need of prayer, doesn't have to be anything related to what I preached on today. If you're walking through a tough place, if you're facing something, if you're dealing with something in your life, and you just want someone to pray with you or pray over you, our prayer partners would count that a privilege to do that. So while we sing this song, you can feel free to step out, come to any one of them, and they'd be happy to pray with you and pray over your need. Well, Father, that's our prayer today. Sometimes we forget that we are your hands. We are your feet. We are the voices through which you speak in this world. And Father, you have placed your Spirit in us as your followers. And your word says that we are all together, separate and necessary parts of the body of Christ. Lord, my prayer would be that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us in such power and with such grace, that you would guide us and lead us, each and every one of us, to the place and the purpose that you have in our lives. Lord, what I've discovered through the years is that there are no small roles in the kingdom of God. Whether we're working with children and planting seeds for eternity, whether we're working with adults, Lord, and dealing with struggling marriages and addictions and all those kinds of things. Lord, each and every role we play, from those who serve food on Wednesday nights to those who greet at the front doors, Lord, every single piece and part is essential to the kingdom of God. So, Lord, today, would you speak to us? Would you help us to remember, Lord, that we are the vessels that you will work through if we will just give you a chance? It's in your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.